Eclipse Fever is getting it to high gear. Now, if you haven't heard, and come on, it's in the title of the episode, there's going to be a total solar eclipse on April 8th on a line from the western part of Mexico into the U.S. from Texas to Maine, and parts of eastern Canada are all going to be within the path of the eclipse. Solar eclipses can be a great deal of fun, and to many, they are life-changing experiences. In part one of our eclipse special, we went over much of the equipment needed to observe the eclipse, as well as some of the best places to see it. There's a link in the show notes if you haven't seen or listened to that episode. In this episode, we'll go over several techniques and tips that will help you to see and photograph the eclipse, as well as what you can expect to see. For your convenience, we're going to leave links in the show notes to many of the items that we discuss in this episode and in part one. If you're going to buy any of them, please use these links, as it doesn't cost you anything, but it really helps the channel. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on audio, please leave us a nice review on your podcast platform. We welcome your questions, suggestions, comments, and reviews. Feel free to leave them in the comments, or you can always email us at astroguypodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a text or a voicemail at 973-404-0380. In our Facebook group, we post lots of fun information about astronomy, astronomy history, and astronomers, as well as important updates about the show. We really want it to become an interactive forum for our listeners and watchers. The link to that is in the show notes as well. If you'd like to help support the Astro Guy podcast and YouTube channel, you can buy us a cup of coffee. The money is used to maintain and update the equipment that we use to create and publish the show. The link is in the show notes. Thank you. Okay, that's enough of my yakking. Let's get to the eclipse.
Welcome to the Astro Guy Podcast. I'm not an expert. I'm an amateur like you. I'm here to learn and here to teach. So let's enjoy the ride together. Carpe Noctem. Seize the night.
Welcome to the Astro Guy Podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Zuhl. The eclipse of April 8th, 2024 is practically around the corner. Here's the safety disclaimer. Anytime you are observing or imaging the sun, you need to exercise extreme caution. Looking directly at the sun with any optical instrument or even the naked eye can cause permanent damage to your eyesight. Fortunately, there are ways to safeguard your vision while still being able to enjoy all the phases of the eclipse. But I can't emphasize this enough. Except during totality, when the moon completely blocks the sun, it is not safe to look directly at the sun without proper, approved eye protection. Even a momentary glimpse through a camera lens, binoculars, or a telescope can result in permanent damage to your eyes and even blindness. So please, use extreme caution. In part one of the eclipse special, we go over the precautions you'll take to safely observe the sun. Please review that if you're not familiar with it. Alright, now that that's out of the way, let's talk about what you'll see of the eclipse if you're on the center line with clear skies. At first contact, when the edge of the moon first touches the edge of the sun, you won't notice anything. After a minute or two using your eclipse glasses or filtered instrument, you'll notice the moon slowly making its way across the sun. As the moon makes its path across the sun, it will take a larger and larger bite out of it. Eventually, the sun will look like a crescent. Looking at it through protective filters will show this well, but you can also look at projections of the sun through a colander or a pinhole projector. Again, there are links to a site to make a pinhole projector in the show notes. When I observed the 2012 annular eclipse in Arizona, the crescent sun was projected through the leaves of a nearby bush, making lots of crescents on the ground. It was such a cool sight to witness. As totality approaches, the crescents will get thinner and thinner. You'll begin to notice that the sunlight itself seems thin. That's the only way that I can describe it. You'll also notice the temperature dropping by several degrees, depending on local weather conditions. You'll likely notice crickets starting to chirp, and you may witness birds or other animals returning to their nests. Eventually, you should see Bailey's beads, where just a small fraction of the sun is peeking through the craters and valleys on the edge of the moon, showing as brilliant beads along the moon's edge. Then, just before totality, as the last bit of the sun is visible, it will almost look like a diamond ring in the sky. This feature is called the diamond ring, and on rare occasions, if the alignment is right, it will almost look like a ring with two diamonds. Depending on your location, it will take about 80 minutes to go from first contact to the start of totality. Once totality begins, it's safe to remove your eclipse glasses. Looking where the sun was, you'll see a dark circle surrounded by a wispy glow. This is the sun's corona, or outer atmosphere, which can only be glimpsed during a total solar eclipse. I can remember an old friend describing the 1979 total eclipse that he witnessed in Manitoba, Canada. He described it as if there were a hole in the sky. Besides the corona, you may be able to see prominences, which are solar flares on the edge of the sun. The corona is whitish in color, while the prominences are more red in color. During totality, the sky will darken, and if you look around the horizon, it will look like a sunset extending for 360 degrees. It's surreal, to say the least. Both Jupiter and Venus should be easy to spot, with Venus about 15 degrees below and to the right of the eclipse, and Jupiter about 30 degrees above and to the left of the eclipse. If your horizon will permit it, you might be able to glimpse Saturn and Mars about 20 degrees below and to the right of Venus, although they'll appear dimmer and you might need binoculars to see them. You'll want to enjoy the corona while it's visible. The sun's outer atmosphere is very dynamic, and it never looks the same twice. Also, because the sun is nearing the peak of its 11-year cycle, there's a lot of activity on the sun, so seeing prominences are very likely, but they'll be dimmer than the corona, but you still should be able to pick them out. In just a few minutes, when we discuss how to take pictures of the eclipse, we'll talk about how to capture them. Another really interesting phenomenon that is sometimes observed during a total solar eclipse are shadow bands. These are somewhat elusive, wavy lines of alternating light and dark bands that are seen on the ground just before and just after totality. They are caused by irregularities in the Earth's atmosphere, causing it to act like a lens, making the sunlight shimmer and flicker. In order to see the shadow bands, you'll want to have a smooth, light-colored surface. A white bedsheet works well, as does a light-colored surface, like concrete or a painted surface. About a minute or two before and after totality, pay close attention to the ground on that light-colored area. You'll want to look for rapidly moving bands of light and shadow that will look like ripples of light moving across the ground. Shadow bands can be difficult to observe as they're fleeting and require precise atmospheric conditions and lighting and are best seen on flat surfaces. To improve your chances of seeing them, you'll need a clear location with minimal turbulence, like an open field or a calm body of water. Not every eclipse will produce visible shadow bands, so don't be disappointed if you don't see them. But if you're lucky enough to spot them, that will add to the magic and wonder of a total solar eclipse. Now, depending on your location, you can experience up to more than 4.5 minutes of totality. The sad thing is that it's going to go by very quickly. Before you realize it, another diamond ring appears, this time on the opposite side of the moon, and suddenly it's no longer safe to look directly at the eclipse. Put your eclipse glasses and filters back on now. Slowly, a thin crescent will begin to grow on the opposite side as before. Everything will become bright again, and the planets will no longer appear visible. Over the next approximately 80 minutes, the crescent will grow larger until the last contact, when the moon moves off of the edge of the sun, and just like that, the eclipse will be over. Time to pack up and head out. Now, what I just described is what you'll see if you're near the center line of the path of totality. But what if you're unable to travel to the path? You'll still see a partial eclipse, which will still be visible to all 48 states in the continental United States. For example, if you were watching the eclipse from Central Park in New York City, at its deepest, the moon will cover about 90% of the sun. It will look amazing through eclipse glasses or a pinhole projection. At 90% obscuration, you might notice that the sunlight appears thin, but that's about it. You won't experience the darkness or see the corona. Fortunately, you'll still get to have your connection with the spectacle of an eclipse. Boston should expect about 92.5% coverage. Washington, D.C. will have 87.3% coverage, while Atlanta will see about 81% coverage. Miami only sees 46% coverage, Las Vegas 51%, Los Angeles gets 49%, while Seattle only sees about 20% of the sun being covered. Cities like Detroit just miss out. Detroit will get 99% coverage, but won't experience any of the joys of totality. In the show notes is a link to an interactive online map where you can click on any location and it will show you the times of first contact, the start of totality, time of mid-eclipse, the end of totality, and last contact. If you click outside the path of totality, it will show you what percentage of the sun will be obscured by the moon along with the timings. With this map, the times are given in universal time, which is the time at 0 degrees longitude, known as Greenwich Mean Time or Zulu Time. In the U.S., you'll need to do a quick calculation to determine local time from universal time. Except for Indiana and most of Arizona, the U.S. is using daylight savings time. If you're in the Eastern time zone, you'll need to subtract 4 hours to get to the local time. In the Central time zone, you'll need to subtract 5 hours. You'll subtract 6 for Mountain Time and 7 for Pacific Time. In Indiana, you'll subtract 6 hours, and for most of Arizona, you'll subtract 7 hours to get the local time. Now, when you're going to an eclipse, make sure that you're well prepared and have all the gear that you need. We went over most of that in part one, if you need a refresher. If you can, visit your observing location the day before eclipse day. This way, you'll have a good idea of where the best spots are to set up. Do a check to make sure that trees or buildings won't be in the way. Have plans for bad weather. In April, the weather patterns typically move from west to east, so you'll want to scope out potential locations to the east of your primary site. Suppose you go to Indianapolis. On eclipse day, the weather is calling for overcast skies in Indianapolis. You might want to take the 5-hour drive to Cleveland if the weather prospects are better there. This is a decision that you'll need to be ready to make on eclipse day. Pay close attention to the weather, especially in areas that are nearby and on the path. But if a quick-moving system is coming through, a trip west might actually be better. Again, pay close attention to the forecasts in the days and hours leading up to the eclipse so you have the best chances of seeing it. On eclipse day, make sure to have your folding chair and water with you as you're going to be out in the field for several hours. And make sure to keep your eclipse glasses on when looking at the sun, with the exception of during totality. Try making a light shroud out of some dark material when looking at your pinhole projection or when looking through a properly filtered telescope. Doing so will help to improve the contrast of what you're seeing. Try to find natural pinhole projections if you can. They're fun to see. Trees and bushes will often produce pinholes through their leaves. It can be very helpful to have an audible timer so you're aware of the contact times in your location. There's an app you can download called Solar Eclipse Timer. It's a free app that works on Android and Apple devices. Just familiarize yourself with it so you won't be trying to figure it out on eclipse day. A fun thing to do is to bring a portable digital thermometer with you and every few minutes record the temperature. Note how it changes during the eclipse. Afterwards, make a chart showing the temperature on one axis and the depth of the eclipse and time on the other. Try to spot the bright planets during totality. You should even be able to spot some of the brighter stars, such as Rigel and Betelgeuse and Orion. Sirius will be low in the east, but may be visible as well. Bring friends and family with you. For many people, this will be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, so share it with them. Now, what if you want to try to take pictures of the eclipse? The best advice that I can give you is to practice with your setup for several days before the eclipse. Familiarize yourself with your solar filter that you'll be using. I left a link in the show notes for a very nice and inexpensive filter from Celestron that will work great with most camera lenses. Finding the sun with the filter on can be challenging at first. I've found that the best way to do so is to look at the shadow of the camera on the ground. Adjust the camera on the tripod until you have the smallest shadow on the ground. Then, if the sun still isn't in the viewfinder, slowly sweep back and forth, then up and down by just a few degrees until you spot the sun. It may take a little practice, but you'll get the hang of it. Depending on the focal length that you're using, the sun will move through the field in just a matter of minutes, so make sure to keep things centered. Don't use autofocus. Focus manually, as it will be faster, and the autofocus routine likely is going to have difficulty finding focus with the solar filter on. If there's a switch on your lens for manual focus, make sure to set it to manual. If your view screen allows you to zoom in, do so and try to focus on the edge of the sun. If you're using a DSLR, you'll want to set the ISO to say 400 to start, but play around with the settings. You should bracket them. That means starting at, say, ISO 400, taking an exposure and then lowering the ISO one setting and taking another exposure and so on. Keep doing this until you find the ISO and exposure settings that work best for your setup. If you have an intervalometer for your camera, you'll want to use it, as that will prevent any shaking when taking your images. They're inexpensive, and I've left the link in the show notes for several different ones. For exposure, start with 1/500th of a second for the uneclipsed sun, and make adjustments up or down until you're happy with the results. You'll want to take notes so you'll know what works best. Try different exposures, f-stops, and ISO settings with your solar filter to find the best exposure for the uneclipsed sun. As the eclipse progresses, you'll need to change your exposure times to compensate for the moon covering the sun. Once totality begins, take off your solar filter and open the shutter for various exposures. Start with 1/10 of a second, then take another shot at 1/8, then 1/4 second, 1/2 second, all the way up to several seconds long. I can't state this enough. Use your judgment with exposures during totality. If you're overexposing, go to shorter exposures. If you're underexposing, go longer. The longer exposures will capture more of the corona and any solar prominences. You'll likely need to edit the images during post-processing to bring out those details, but apps like Lightroom make that really easy to do. The same advice applies if you're taking pictures with the camera in your phone. Practice with a filter beforehand. I suggest using whatever mode allows you to change the settings, like ISO, f-stop, and practice with a filter beforehand. I suggest using whatever mode allows you to change the settings, like ISO, f-stop, and exposure time. Whether you're using your phone or a camera, you'll want to have it mounted to a tripod to keep it steady. This is imperative for the longer exposures that you'll need to take during totality to capture the corona properly. As far as lenses for your DSLR are concerned, you can use what you have, but I would recommend something in the 200 to 700 millimeter range. Anything longer than that will be difficult to keep the sun well framed, and anything shorter will just show a small looking eclipse. But use what you have. If you're going to image the eclipse through a telescope with an astro camera or a DSLR and a white light filter, you'll need a solid mount, preferably with a drive, so you don't need to constantly make adjustments to keep the eclipse centered. You'll also need a compass or a compass app to help you find north so that you can roughly polar align. There are many apps that can help with that. Either way, you'll want to practice and find the best settings for the uneclipsed sun, then make adjustments as totality approaches. Remember, never look through the viewfinder without the solar filter in place. During totality, carefully remove the filter. You don't want to lose the sun's position. Now, take longer exposures to capture the eclipse. If you have an H-alpha equipped scope like the Coronado PST, you won't likely see anything through it during totality, but it will show amazing detail during the partial phases. There are many videos on YouTube that go over how to photograph an eclipse. I've linked to one from Astro Backyard that is excellent. Trevor goes into detail and gives some really good advice. Now, if this is your first total solar eclipse, I'd suggest only spending about 30 seconds of totality taking pictures, if that. Experience the eclipse to the fullest extent possible. Take time to absorb the awe-inspiring sight unfolding above you and in the world around you. Notice the expressions of wonder and amazement on the faces of those around before, during, and after totality. Take time to reflect on the profound impact that witnessing a solar eclipse can have on people. My wife says that she's only been speechless 3 times in her life. When we first went to the Grand Canyon, then again at the top of Mount Washington, New Hampshire, and lastly during totality during the 2017 solar eclipse. Recognize the significance of this celestial event as a truly life-changing experience. Standing within the path of totality offers a rare opportunity to share in a moment of cosmic beauty and connection. You'll be able to recount to friends and family the extraordinary sensation of standing in the shadow of the moon and witnessing the transition from day to night in the middle of the day, a truly magical and unforgettable experience. I wish you safe travels and clear skies for the eclipse. Thanks for joining us. That's all for this episode. Carpe Noctem. Seize the night. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that you found our time together to be fun and helpful. If you have questions or episode suggestions, please email us at astroguypodcast@gmail.com or leave us a text or a voicemail at 973-404-0380. If you're not already a member, please join the Astro Guy Podcast group on Facebook. You'll find other members, videos, blogs, and lots of other useful information there for your enjoyment. You can also visit our YouTube channel, the Astro Guy Podcast, for past episodes and other surprises. Please subscribe. Please consider leaving us a review on your podcast platform. It helps us to get new listeners. Thank you again for listening, and may your skies be clear. As always, carpe noctem. Seize the night.
I'm Wayne Zuhl, and this was the Astro Guy Podcast. Thank you for listening. As always, your questions, comments, and suggestions are welcome. Keep wondering. Keep your eyes on the sky. Have fun. Carpe Noctem. Seize the night.